Good morning. Thank you very much. Can I thank you for the very good lessons that you've given this morning? A lot of times after I preach, there will be a lot of nice folks who thank me for the lesson that I've given. And I want you to know that you have given numerous very, very good lessons this morning. The Bible teaches that when we sing, that's exactly what we do. Singing is an act of worship that God requires. He commands it of us. God wants us to sing these songs in the way that we've done this morning. And in doing this, he lets us know that we are teaching and admonishing one another. What a great thought that is. We have a number of our members who are away from us. They are in thought and prayer. They're away for the holiday and for the spring break that begins now, I guess. And several other guests have come our way to be with us at the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Thank you very much for that. I want to make sure that you know today that you can find us online. You can find us on Facebook if you just search for Augusta Road Church of Christ. You can also find us on our very great website. This is a new thing for us launching just today, AugustaRoadCoc.org, AugustaRoadCoc.org. And the bulletin cover has all of that information so that you can keep up with us and go and listen to sermons and Bible classes. We have a full calendar of events. You'll be able to see those things there as well. I'm really, really glad that we have that feature. So glad that you're here this morning so that we can tell you about it. I want to talk today about crucifixion and not the crucifixion of Jesus. I want to talk about your crucifixion. I want to talk about my crucifixion. I want to talk about our crucifixion. Instead of the crucifixion of Christ this morning, I want to talk about the crucifixion of the Christian. And the verse that's going to help us do that is Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The Apostle Paul is our inspired writer here. These words are coming to us from God, but Paul's the one that is writing them down for our benefit here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I believe that you could do a good job pretending to be one of our pew packers this hour. Our pew packers, we meet every Sunday evening at 5:45 right down here up front, and they do a fantastic job learning and processing Scripture. They're memorizing verses, and I'm so proud of them for doing that. They have an option to come up with their own verses that they want to memorize, and I believe that every one of them can memorize Galatians 2:20 before we finish our look at it this morning. I think even us adults can do that. I hope so, because I want to remember these verses every single day of my life. Paul begins by saying, I have been crucified with Christ. Paul is crucified. This is a significant thing here. Crucifixion, how much do you know about it? I know it gets talked about a whole lot this time of year. Crucifixion was designed by the Romans to induce a slow, painful, ignoble death. Nobody wanted to die this way. People generally want to stay alive, but even people who had come to grips with the fact that they were going to die, you know, people who accepted the fact that they were going to die for whatever reason, they didn't want to die this way. They didn't want to die via crucifixion. Strarao is the word. Strarao, that's what the Jews would say they wanted done to Jesus. It's a word that means to impale. It's a word that means to extinguish. And the Romans had a lot of practice at this crucifixion. They honed this craft. They made sure that it created the perfect storm of fear and anguish and subjugation. That was the whole point of it. The Romans didn't want anyone to even think about stepping out of line, because, buddy, if you do, it might be you up there on the cross next, dying this barbaric way. The death by crucifixion was not quick. It was not easy. It was not painless. It hurt a lot. It was slow and painful. It was meant to discourage and to warn. common ways that people finally would expire after being crucified were painful ways. Dehydration was a common resulting death from crucifixion. The crucifixion itself didn't stop your life. It just suspended you there until you finally passed away. People would die. People who were crucified would die from infection. This is a long, drawn out, painful, agonizing death. A septic shock is a common reason for death or cause of death by those who were crucified. Heart failure or cardiac rupture. It sounds exactly like what it is. The heart under the weight and the agony of the process being sent all of those shock waves of trauma, the heart just gives out. Suffocation was a way that some of these folks who were crucified died. Loss of fluids. They were just nailed to that wood, left for dead. And that leads me to one of the ways that these folks died that is especially barbaric: animal predation. They were nailed up to the cross, placed there on that plank of wood, suspended, and just left with no one to help. So the animals, they would come around, smelling death in the air, they would come around, and they would do what animals do, you know. Organ failure was a frequent cause of death by crucifixion. Asphyxiation, that's the most common. You just simply suffocated. You were nailed and you were left for dead. You had to hold your own weight up through the nails driven in your hands, driven in your feet, and you couldn't do that and breathe at the same time, so you died by suffocation. Terrible, terrible. And Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ. Because Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there is no other name. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. So Paul says, I have been crucified. But number two, Paul says, I'm alive. I live. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Paul says, I'm alive, which is mind-boggling because no one walked away from crucifixion. That's not how it worked. That's not the way it was designed to happen. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, Paul says. That's not normal because people who were crucified, they died. No one survived. Not even Jesus did. Jesus died on the cross via this crucifixion. He gave up the ghost, the Bible says. Death did not overcome him. He overcame death, but it was crucifixion that caused even our Savior to die. You know, there are some people, because of the nature of crucifixion, there are some people who attempt to reenact it. Maybe you've heard about these folks who attempt to allow themselves to be crucified. Their fingers are crossed behind their back because they were not really crucified the way Jesus was really crucified. Generally speaking, there may be some nails involved, but for the most part, rope is wrapped around a big part of the wrist. If you notice closely, you'll see this. Rope is wrapped around so that their crucifixion, quote unquote, is not as barbaric or inhumane as Jesus' crucifixion. And here's the real kicker. Here's the real difference between those who at various times of the year reenact the crucifixion of Christ and the real crucifixion that Jesus went through. The reenactors, those who are acting their way through it, they walk away every time. Jesus didn't, nobody else did. Crucifixion equaled death. That's just the way it was. When you were crucified, you stopped living. So Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. but I'm still alive. I'm still here. It is no longer I who live. I'm crucified with Christ, and yet I'm living. Paul says he survived his crucifixion. That's not the way it worked. Not at all, not even close. But Paul says it's not really he who is alive. It's no longer I who live. Yeah, sure, the Apostle Paul is alive, but he's really not alive. Paul goes back and forth talking about his crucifixion and ours too. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, but I'm alive. But I'm really not alive, because the life that I live is lived for another. It's Jesus. Christ now lives in me, he says. Paul is describing a newness of life given to him only by and only through his relationship with the Savior. You know, this is not the only place that the Apostle Paul spoke in these terms. In Romans chapter 6, I want you to see this with me. Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is talking about Jesus' death. He's also talking about baptism. We'll show how the two relate in just a moment. But the Apostle Paul says that we have been baptized into Jesus Christ. We've been baptized into his death. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 3. And then he says this, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Jesus was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk, here it is, in newness of life. So Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, but I'm alive. But I'm really not alive, you see. The same Paul sure exists, but it's the change that was made inside of Paul that makes all the difference. The same man who is here writing to these Christians in Galatia, he was once upon a time looking for Christians not to get together and worship with, not to come together and talk about Jesus with, but he was looking for Christians to kill them. That was his prior job. Paul's past life, the way he used to be, was someone who looked for Christians so that he could punish them, so that he could humiliate them. Maybe even, who knows, maybe even the Apostle Paul, what was involved in people's actual crucifixion, many other than just Jesus, were crucified in this manner. So that was the way Paul used to live, and he's letting us know this morning that he's still alive, but he's not alive in that way anymore. The life that I now live, the life that is his right now, is Jesus' life who lives in him. He says it best in the verse we just read, Romans chapter 6, verse 4. The old man of sin has been buried. Paul was risen from his baptism, just as Jesus was risen from the dead. Paul was risen to walk in newness of life, just like Jesus, after his burial, lived a new life. And that's the way it is for all of us. Paul says that I'm alive, but I'm really not alive because Christ, remember earlier, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no name other than Jesus. So Paul says the life that he lives now, he is living because of Jesus. He is living for Jesus. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's Jesus, who loved me, who gave himself for me. Paul realized that Jesus gave himself for Paul, so Paul must give himself for Jesus. We don't do that in the same way that Jesus gave himself for us. We do that in a different way. Paul, again, speaking on the subject in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 very famously says that we present our living bodies as living sacrifices. That's what Paul's doing here. in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The life that he is living because of Jesus. It's not he who lives any longer, but it's Jesus in him. It's not what Paul wants to do. It's not what Paul's will is. It's what Jesus wants to do. It's what Jesus' will is. That's what it means to turn your life over to Christ. Christ is the difference maker. Paul, before his own actual physical death, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, I'd love for you to see this verse with me. Paul is nearing the end of his life. We believe that his letters to Timothy were some of the last that he wrote just prior to his death. And guess what? He hasn't gotten off the message yet. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, he's still talking about Jesus. He's still talking about his salvation. And I want you to notice the way in which he does it. I endure all things for the elect's sake, Paul says. Again, situated near the end of his life. A lot of water has gone under the bridge. The Apostle Paul has suffered mightily for the cause of Christ. He used to be the guy dishing out the pain and suffering when his name was Saul. He used to be the guy who was finding Christians to punish them. Now, his name is Paul, and he's the guy who is teaching Jesus and him crucified. Now he's the guy who's saying, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm alive, but I'm really not alive because Jesus is the one now living in me. So Paul says, I endure all of these things that they may obtain the salvation. Notice this, which is in Christ Jesus. Question for you this morning. Where is salvation? Answer, it's in Jesus. Let me show you another verse. See this with me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul again is writing here to another group of Christians, and he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. How about that? All spiritual blessings. Think of a spiritual blessing right now. Maybe you're thinking about prayer. That is a wonderful spiritual blessing. Maybe you're thinking about providence. That is a wonderful spiritual blessing. Maybe you're thinking about fellowship, or maybe you're thinking about our ability to worship God and come into his presence this way. That all wonderful spiritual blessings. We could go on and on and on naming spiritual blessings. Guess where they all are? All of them are in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Salvation, the very chief of spiritual blessings, it is in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10 says, salvation is in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Where do you want to be this morning? Where do you want to be this morning? I don't know about you, but I want to be in Christ because that's where all the good stuff is. Salvation is there. All spiritual blessings are there. I don't want to live a life for me anymore. I want to live a life for Jesus, just like Paul is teaching here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's a difference maker. Jesus makes all the difference. Salvation is in Christ. Spiritual blessings are in Christ. Now you've got to see this verse. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. It's going to sound a whole lot to you like Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, because it's on the same subject. Here in Galatians 3, 27, Paul says, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So baptism is the manner in which we are baptized into Christ. We have put Christ on. We are in Christ. And you know that's where you want to be because, well, the Bible says so. 2 Timothy 2:10 says that salvation's in Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says that spiritual blessings are there. That's where you want to be because that's where that salvation is. That's where those spiritual blessings are. And baptism is the doorway that puts us into Christ. Paul was baptized. And when he was baptized, his sins were washed away. And it's after his baptism that Paul says he was risen to walk in newness of life. It's after Paul's baptism, too, that he says he's been crucified with Christ. He has buried his old self. He's alive. Yeah, sure, he's alive, technically. But really, the life that Paul lives is a different kind of life, because it's a life lived for Jesus. Because only Jesus can make this kind of difference. There is no other name but Jesus who can give us salvation. Paul had that salvation. He gladly wrote to us about it. Many of us here have been baptized in the same way that Paul was. That's fantastic. We have been risen to walk in newness of life. Now, I want to let you know right now, we're not perfect. That's not what I'm saying this morning. We're not perfect. But we have been forgiven from our past sins. And you can do that this morning too. If you've never heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized, we've talked about baptism this morning, but I want you to know that's not the whole picture. That's not all there is to it. You have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and then be baptized. And if you're ready to do that today, we are so ready to help you. If you would like just to talk more about that, we would be excited about that opportunity, too, to talk with you more about God's plan of salvation. To the many who have already heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized, make sure now that the life that you are now living, you are living because of Jesus Christ. Make sure now that the life that you are living is being lived with Him first and you second. That's a hard thing to do. It's a really, really hard thing to do. But we must do it. We have to put Jesus first in all that we do. And if you are a struggling Christian this morning, not putting Jesus first in certain areas of your life, we ask you to let us know that. Not so we can keep tabs on you. That's not what we're interested in doing. We ask you to let us know that this morning so that we can help you. So that we can pray, so that we can relate, so that we can be there and understand that it's tough for us all to do what the Lord wants us to do. But here's the thing now, it's worth it to do what the Lord wants us to do. So if we can encourage you or pray for you this morning, we would be honored to do that. If you're ready to be baptized, make that known now while we stand and sing. Won't you come, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road Congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.